you please open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 13? Basically, what I'm going to talk about, John Wesley termed it social justice. And basically, if you look at John Wesley's ministry, his total focus basically was to those people oppressed, to poor, to the needy, to the people that really needed to know God. People had the hearts for God. And again, it's a term, social justice. You'll hear me say that many times, but I just want to give you a definition so we can go on. So we look at Matthew 9, verses 10 through 13. It says, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. 11, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And see, so Jesus basically is our model that we should follow essentially in our Christian life. And he was basically ministering to who? The people that had the hearts that knew they needed him. Okay? He told the self-righteous, I don't need your sacrifice. Because all the Pharisees were totally focused on what? Religion. They're focused on what people saw them doing, but they didn't have the right hearts. And so that's why it says in verse 12, on hearing this, Jesus says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. So this is a message to us. What does this mean? I desire mercy. Well, what Jesus desires from the regenerate heart, those that are basically born again, is that we have compassion for the oppressed, for the poor, for the people that need help. Like these people, the women had talked about, these battered families, these battered women. Okay? These are the people we're here to minister for. And by the way, this is a church's job. This is our mission given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we see the government, basically we have all sorts of programs. People went after the elections had mentioned things about that. But the truth of the matter is, it does not change the way we look at the world. Our mission is to go and help the poor, those oppressed, those in need. We have no option to do that. It doesn't matter what else is going on the outside. It's the church's job and those with the right regenerate heart to minister to those who need it. Let's move over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Jesus was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect somebody else? 4, Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. So you can see that when everybody was looking for what Jesus was doing, Jesus was ministering to the oppressed, the sick, the blind. Okay? And he was bringing the good news to those who had the heart that he knew that they would accept it. So the big point here is that do we truly have a heart for the poor and the oppressed, those in need? Okay? And it's a fruit of spirit. It's a fruit of spirit. And if we use Jesus as our example, it's very clear that is our mission, to minister to those that truly need ministering to. And what he was telling the self-righteous, the religious, he said, I don't want your false religion. I don't want you to look Christian. I don't want you just to come to church and sit here. I want active faith. John Wesley talked many, many times about active faith. He wants faith in action, and that's what he wants us as a church to do. Go out and do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world, okay, to the people that are oppressed. And the reason we need to do that, because those that are self-righteous, they're too good for that. And so, the fruit of the Spirit is to go and meet the needs and minister to those people that do it. And so, Jesus basically made it very clear in his actions, and that's why John Wesley, when he started the Methodist movement, was he was sick and tired of the religion, the dead faith that he had seen in the Anglican Church, and he wanted revival. And that was the point of the Methodist, and basically essentially the Nazarene Church, was to be holy, but to also have an active faith and minister to those that need it. To be out and be active in the world, working to do what Jesus expects us to do. And it's just not coming to church. It's basically taking your faith and put it into action, folks. And it's basically doing it with a pure heart. And what a pure heart means, that we do it with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do it without hypocrisy. Holy love that John Wesley keeps talking about, that God has basically instructed us to love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul, your mind and neighbor yourself. If you truly do that, you will not be having a hypocritical heart. So in other words, you don't do it for the wrong reasons. You do it because the Holy Spirit's working through, and you're basically, what, reflecting the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And John Wesley called this social justice. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 21 says this. Now a man came to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Verse 7 says, "Why do you ask me about this? What is good?" Jesus replied, "There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which one?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false witness. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 20 says, "All these I've kept." This man says, "Look, I don't get it, Jesus. I do all this stuff." So the young man said, "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect," wow, that's quite a word. "You want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, then come follow me." So Jesus tells this man that was focused on religion, he said, if you truly are right with me, if you truly are right with God, okay, you will be spiritually mature, and you'll give what? Self-sacrifice, self-denial. And he put it in a way, he said, if you want to be perfect. And what he was implying is, if you really will sacrifice for yourself, for others, you got it. You're there. And then you can follow me. So the point is, as Jesus is saying, is our focus is not ourselves. And he's telling that with, what does he hit that hurts most of us? Our pocketbooks. He hits this man pocketbook. He says, "Look, if you truly are right, then you have the ability to give everything you've got away to those that need it." And of course, many people say, "Oh, that's absolutely cannot be. I can't give up, you know, money to those people. I worked all my life in retirement, all this stuff." Jesus said, No. That's not it. Is your focus truly heavenly? And that's what we got to ask ourselves. Is our focus truly heavenly? And is our focus truly on Jesus Christ? If it is, we will reflect and we'll be extremely generous in what we give. If our focus is not correct, we may find ourselves just being religious. It's easy to slip into. It's easy just to come to church and not really participate, not have an act of faith. It's easy. We all do it, okay, to some extent sometimes, because it's harder to go out and actually do something for other people, okay? It's hard for us to part with our funds sometimes. But Jesus, if our focus is truly heavenly and eternal, we are not going to basically hold those things back, because we know they're just temporary. This guy had, if it left, they had talked about this jackpot or whatever they call it, Powerball or whatever it is, $500 million. And I go, oh my goodness, look at all the people buying this thing. I had to laugh. And so I don't know where I saw this on the news, but this lady was talking about she had won this lottery, and out of it, I forgot what she made. It was like $300 million or something. She got $60 million for lump sum payment, and after all taxes and all that, she goes, I lost my family. I had all these friends. I was hounded constantly. She goes, it's miserable. And so everybody who just dreams about having all this money, when they get it, it's just their whole life falls apart, because all the greedy come right after them, right? There's no peace. So the key point is all this stuff that people follow after just leads to pain and suffering, except the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is telling us, if you want to be perfect with Christ, if you want to have the right relationship with Christ, if you want to please God, have a heart of compassion. Give to those that need. Open your heart. Open your house. Open your good. Give people the money they need. Be generous with what you have. Okay? Everybody goes, oh, it's tough times. I can't do that. You will be surprised when you start giving generously how the Lord will bless you. You will never need anything, because the Lord will supply everything you need. And it's based on faith. And so here, Jesus basically, he laid it right down. If you want to be perfect, go sell your position and give to the poor. It's that very simple. And that's why John Wesley, if you actually study him, you know, I have the pleasure of taking these courses right now. And the point is, this man was so focused. His entire being was focused on ministering to those, especially the poor and those in need, okay? Because he had the right heart with God. And his whole life was dedicated to that. He didn't waste time. This guy would preach in places and people would come and storm it and do everything they could to stop him. He would not stop, because he knew his rewards were where? In heaven. And so this is a beautiful thing that God, and we have a great opportunity, especially with things are going to get worse in the world. And we have time to basically show our faith and minister to those that are in need. This is a perfect example the pastor just gave here about, you know, doing the work down there. People see that. They say, wow, I want that. And you know how it is, like, you know, you give a gift to people. You know, one best part about this time of the thing, if we give gifts to people, it's very rewarding. And the reason you feel that way is you're giving. You're giving of yourself something. Let's move over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're only going to look at one verse there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. Says this, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing. So the point is that if you don't have the right heart, let's say you begrudgingly give, say, wow, you know, I know that it's required of me that I have to give money to the church. God doesn't want it. Keep it. He doesn't need it. God owns the world and everything in it. He doesn't need it. Very simple. So the point here is, unless you love people, have this unhypocritical heart that John Wesley talks about, right? Having that perfect heart. Holy love. That's what holy love is. You basically love people without hypocrisy, okay? Then you'll be able to execute this. If you don't, he says you're wasting your time. Verse 3 says, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love. See, unless this is a labor of love, you really are wasting your time. So we don't do it out of religious means. We don't do it because we feel guilty, okay? Because I have to do this because the church is doing it. We do it because we're Christ. And we have a circumcised heart, and then the fruit of the Spirit is to love those that are not lovable. Who did Jesus hang out with those? Those people that were not lovable. Okay? We actually we love ministry at the nursing home. And I can tell you, I could sit here for the next week and tell you stories, all the things we did. But just to give you a good example, we had this one lady. I used to go there and play the guitar, and then we would minister people. We'd teach them the Bible and all sorts of stuff. And we had this one lady, and I'd give her song sheets, and she would sing right out there. And I said one day to her door, she said, how come you don't ever look at the song sheets? She goes, I'm blind. So, of course, I felt about, you know, half an inch tall at that point, and especially since I missed this for probably months. And but she used to sing right out. And the point is, Dolores, she was heavy, there was no question. And one day, so my wife, she used to go over every week and do crafts with her and all that. And Doris says this. She goes, you know, my daughter will not come to see me. And we said, why not? And she said, she told me I was too fat and she was embarrassed of me. And so could you imagine the hurt that this woman had? Okay? She eventually died. But the point is this. Those are the people that need our love. The ones that people won't give love. And that's why I love the nursing home so much. It's just like this huge sponge right there, ready to grab any water that will come its way. And we would love just to sit and help those people. But can you imagine that? Your own child say, look, I don't want to be around you. I'm not going to come see you because I'm embarrassed of you. And so these are the things that we do as Christians because of the love of Jesus Christ. And we don't do it for our own good. We do it for them. We do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 6 through 9. Says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So if you are not basically generous in your relationships, in what you give other people, or how you minister to the other people, that's what you'll reap. However, if you basically give with the right heart of God, these blessings which will overflow. You will be so fulfilled that you'll say, now I got it. Wow, this is what true abundant life Jesus talks about. Okay? It's totally opposite what the world is, because basically what that is success is what? Money, status, and all that stuff. That's not fulfilling because it never ends. You're never high enough, you never have enough, and all this stuff. What's nice about us and what's so beautiful about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is when you truly grasp this and you generously give to people, when you minister to the poor, when you actually see, like Carol was talking about, that you're helping people, that's the reward of the Christian faith. That's the reward of knowing Jesus Christ. And we're just going to end up with one more verse, and that's 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. verse 17 says this. Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up in treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is what? Truly life. And so the key point here is, if you truly want to experience life, if you ask anybody outside, if you ask anybody, what do you want here? They say, I want to be satisfied in life. I want to have true life. I want to live. I want to enjoy life. And Jesus says, that is given of yourself. That is self-sacrifice, denying yourself and giving to the others. And it's totally opposite to our own flesh. It's totally opposite to the things that we grew up that we were given as important. And what it is basically, it's basically God living through you. And then you will have it. If you want true life, you be generous with those, you minister to those that need, then you finally got it. Say, wow, this is beautiful. This is what life is about. It's John 10:10. Christ came to what? Give life what? Abundantly. So let's close the prayer. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. Lord, I pray that just through these scriptures today, Father, you work in our hearts so that we can be more generous, Father, so that we can basically put those other people ahead of ourselves, Father. I pray that basically we see the needs that people need to know you, and we basically minister to those, we tell them about you, we help them out, we give generously of our time, of our assets, Father, Lord. And I just thank you for this time, Father. I praise your name for this time. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.